Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves, presented by Draft Day. This is Steven Medan.
This is Jeff Fels. It's Wednesday, August 7th, 2013.
Episode 9.11, the AFC North preview show.
Also known as the It's Not an Emergency Show, but it is 9-1-1.
It's not 9-1-1. No, you didn't want to say the other one.
Well,
so,
I don't want to say 9-11 because that's depressing. But 9-1-1, we don't want anyone freaking out and calling the authorities and then getting in
trouble.
Did
you ever think we'd get to Season 9, Episode 11?
No. I was going to do, starting in October, through the regular season and not the playoffs. So October, November, December, boom, that was it.
Yes.
That was it.
Of this year?
Of Season 1, that was it.
Yes.
And I sucked.
Of Season 1. Yes.
And I didn't know anything. I was a baseball guy about football.
You've come a long way.
Baby. Thank you. So we've got the AFC North preview show. Very excited to bring it to you. But don't worry, we got loads of NFL news.
Here's what we're talking about, that wide receivers continue to drop like flies.
They're not dropping balls.
No, they're dropping. They're themselves are dropping like flies.
Guard Brandon Moore decides to retire one day after deciding to join the Cowboys.
We'll talk about that. And quarterback Jay Cutler tosses 4 INTs in practice.
And
then
fixes his socks.
Then he starts to get upset at the defensive lineman who continue to bat down his balls at the line of scrimmage.
They shouldn't be batting his balls at all. AFC North preview will see the Baltimore Ravens,
the Cincinnati Bengals,
the Cleveland Browns,
and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And finally, we'll talk a little fantasy football.
Fantasy!
It's just a fantasy.
Here we go.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
So I'm checking breaking news right now just to make sure that there hasn't been a wide receiver injured in the last 35 seconds. So
no.
It seems, but Laurent Robinson, who was out there as an unsigned free agent.
What happened?
His phone's starting to ring. Starting to ring.
I'm sure it is.
He has no signs to, the Eagles have no signs to plan him right now, to sign him right now, but come on. You know he's going to end up in camp somewhere.
Let's before we get into the news and
Cecil Shorts will not play Friday, wide receiver for the Jags. That's a new one.
There it is.
There you go.
And I think we kind of like in everything that we talked about in our previous show, we never mentioned that Jordy Nelson for the Green Bay Packers had surgery on his knee. He's out. Till probably week one.
Yeah, and we will unfortunately not be able to get to them today because we're not talking about the Green Bay Packers. So tell everyone who has early fantasy drafts, if you're in a PPR format, Randall Cobb, his 80 catches last year should go up, and that's going to be certain money.
You know, the thing with Cobb is that his name reminds me of corn, and corn usually has butter, and butter means butter fingers, and he drops the ball.
Cobb reminds me of Kevin, who sucks. That's the problem right there with Randall Cobb.
That, too. Although they're completely different spelling, no relation.
No. But and one doesn't suck and one does.
Well, there you go.
So besides that, they're the same. So, yeah. They've got a lot of problems. Eddie Lacy is really – he's going to probably be the starting back in the backfield there. But
you know, has there been a team to not have to suffer a huge
a decimating loss?
Loss?
I don't know. I would have to look at that, Steven.
Yeah, we'll take a look.
Because I am truly curious. We have – I mean, starting with Green Bay, when they lost their center at the beginning of this year, and then it's just – it's been a bloodletting there. And we think about one of your news items, which was Brandon Moore.
Yeah.
Coming out of the – he was an unsigned free agent from the New York Jets. I remember when he lined up alongside Sione Bua. And Jordan wanted to point out that he was the butt that Sanchez butt fumbled into.
Yes.
Not that it was his fault, because it wasn't at all.
Right.
It was all in Sanchez. But would have been a great help to the Cowboys' offensive line that's thin. And now he goes and hangs him up. It's like there's a lot of teams with a lot of needs, Steven. I'm just glancing at helmets.
Yeah.
We already did the AFC East. We know about that.
Yeah.
AFC North, we could just – Baltimore, my God.
The Buffalo Bill emails have started.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Look, I'm reneging and saying the Jets could be worse. But
you
that's
are.
Just because they're
you
horrible.
Are. I'm not. I'm
that's
not
just because they're all horrible. There. I'm sorry about that AFC East show, because the fact of the matter is, it's a one-horse trick. pony.
It is.
It's a one-horse trick pony. It's a one-trick pony.
Jeff, if you don't know the cliche, don't use it.
Well, Steven, stop spitting in the wind, okay?
Oh, God.
Watched Newsroom last night. And he keeps trying to use this cliche that he didn't know, one of the guys. And she's like, you're still not using it properly. The cliche.
Is this a new one that I haven't?
It was this week. So you're not current?
Is it the one
where? It was Jim. He's on the Romney tour.
Oh, yeah.
Romney Buster.
Okay. Yeah.
You're still not using that cliche properly.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that coming, by the way.
Oh, sure.
Jim hooking up with
that. Oh, of course.
Reporter. Yeah.
She's from Vanderbilt, isn't she?
Vassar.
Oh, let's get it
Newsroom, people. If you're not watching it on HBO,
it's a very good show by my favorite writer. However, it was 2 weeks ago's show that I thought was the first one that was great. 2 weeks ago, they knocked it out of the park.
I don't know, this fall down comedy. Yeah,
this was a much more serious episode.
Well, yeah, with the Africa.
The Africa stuff.
Yeah,
but so again, the beauty of Aaron Sorkin, who's the writer here, who wrote such little ditties as
West Wing,
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip with Sports Night, and he's written a ton of gold. He even won a little Academy Award for The Social Network.
Yes,
so. Yeah, he's a very good writer. He's one of my favorite writers, your family's favorite writers. And he's got a good one here, but he still needs to find his stride a little bit in season two. But two episodes ago, he had me on the floor because he writes comedy as well as serious very, very well in slapstick, which I think there needs to be more of in television. Speaking of slapstick.
Trisha's in trouble because I think I've fallen in love with Mac.
Okay.
McKenzie.
Yeah. And
I call her Matt.
I know, because you guys are tight.
Yes.
That way. She's got the English accent. She's got reddish hair.
Is that what it is? It's the English accent.
Of course it is.
Oh, man. She talks, and I'm just like, can you all be quiet? I'm trying to hear the show.
We've got to give a shout-out to our engineer at TalkSport who's getting married this weekend.
Becky, congratulations.
Becky Talbot.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, she's getting married.
Live happily ever after. We love you. And her uncle listens to the show, which is a big fun thing.
Well, that is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So somebody at that wedding will be representing Ransom Rapes Network. So, Steven's calling it the preseason injury from hell year. I'm calling it, what's up with the knees?
Say it correctly. The preseason season-ending injury year from hell.
See, those of us with dyslexia can't read preseason. And just assume we're being redundant?
No, I'm calling the preseason season-ending injury year from hell.
And that's good.
Yes.
I'm calling it, what the hell's wrong with the knees? What is it in this shortened workload of NFL land where the players are only practicing so much that it is mostly affecting knees?
I'm going to go a step further.
Go a step further.
I believe that it's not just so much that you can't practice them as much as you used to be able to.
Right.
The off-season conditioning workouts that that used to be mandatory are no longer available. So you got to rely on these players to go out there and do the conditioning themselves. Come on, Jeffrey.
And they are doing workouts. Okay.
Most
of them are coming into camp in what humans would call in shape.
Yes.
Right.
But it's not football shape.
And this was brought out on Hard Knocks last night where that rookie was popping off
about
how he was going to go out and kill it in the 40 sprints. And after the fifth 40 sprint, he's tapping out. He's on the sideline laying down because he was not in football shape.
Not in football shape.
There's a huge difference between being a freak physical specimen of a human who's in fantastic shape and football shape. And when you are not in football shape, you start losing your knees.
I thought I'm watching that Hard Knocks, and I thought AJ Green was done.
I was so scared.
Did you see
his leg?
Because
I'm like, we would have known.
Yeah, we would have. I was like,
did HBO cover this up? Yeah.
Did they cover it up so it wouldn't come out till today?
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's what I started thinking. I'm like, no way.
They did not cover this news.
That's not their point.
Their point is not to cover things
right,
up.
Right, right.
So most significant injuries to the Cincinnati Bengals, if you're watching Hard Knocks, which we strongly encourage, you know already
Yes.
You know, when the rookie broke his leg and his ankle, we knew that already.
Yes, yes.
And we didn't see it, and we didn't see him crying, talking to his father. That was horrible.
That's horrible. You know what? I mean, he had made, they're saying he'd made improvements. All the coaches are talking great things about him. Yeah. They set you up for that.
They did.
Because
it's
all the coaches
television.
Are talking good stuff. He's coming along. He's made huge strides. He's in a lot better shape than he was during the OTAs. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's out and he's done. And you're like, oh, that's not even right.
You just used me.
Yes, you did.
Now, here's the thing. And the beauty of reality television done well is film everything, see what happens, and then go edit to create a good story.
Right.
And some good drama. And that's exactly what HBO does. They don't manufacture things. They just film everything, and then they go, what do we got?
Yeah.
And, well, that's certainly a crappy story. Let's throw that in there to break people's hearts. Yeah, and they did
exactly.
break people's hearts.
So it's
the newest guys injured at wide receiver, Eagles, because the Eagles need more injuries at
wide receiver. Or just problems in general at the wide receiver position.
Riley Cooper's back.
Yeah, he is.
For now. He's done with his intensive counseling.
I liked some of the comments we got because I basically posted what kind of counseling can you have gotten in 4 days.
I didn't see that.
Yes, it was?
No.
I need to follow along better.
To,
yeah. So basically, well, one of them was like, duh. I mean, does it really take more than 4 seconds? Stop being a racist, dude.
Nice.
What the hell's going on out here?
I don't know. But Aurelius Ben, wide receiver who used to be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they thought that he might be able to at least be the number three guy. Out with a torn ACL, he will miss the entire season.
Earl Bennett out with a concussion, Chicago Bears wide receiver.
Oh, gosh, I'm telling you.
We were gonna do Hard Knocks later. We'll do it now, just because we were there. So the concussion thing, although I guarantee it might have gone differently if there wasn't a camera in the guy's face.
Yes.
That was one of the most important moments in the history of the National Football League because he was on camera. He could not take crap from the kid, and he had to tell him to sit down and to take the day because the kid just said that, yeah, there was a ringing in his ears after he got hit in the head.
Right.
And he wasn't thinking anything about it. Coach's like, you're done.
Until the coach says,
you're done.
You gotta
go. You're done. Go sit down.
And this guy's trying to make a
– He's trying to make the club.
Team. And he's like, I can't be done. I got to get back on the field. I got to go make that – I got to go make that catch. I got to go show that I can catch that, and I got to stay on my feet because coach has been telling me all day – don't dive for the ball. Stop leaving your feet. And I got to go. I can see what the player's thinking to himself.
He's
like,
freaking out.
I got to get back on the field.
And that pressure on the coach.
Yeah.
Forget about the player now.
Yeah.
That pressure on an assistant coach is overwhelming because you love these guys.
Right.
You're pulling for them. You want what's best for them. And then he asked the ultimate question because he knew these guys well enough. What would you want me to say to your son?
What would your family want me to do?
Well, first, what would your father say?
Yeah.
And then what would your wife say?
Yeah. What does your family want me to do?
And what would your son say?
Take care of dad.
Take care of dad. I'm taking care of dad. And that the reason why that may be one of the most important things in the history of the NFL, and I'm not exaggerating here, is because Hard Knocks is not watched by fans only.
Right.
Hard Knocks is loved by the players.
Right.
By the coaches, by everyone in the NFL loves Hard Knocks, okay? It's not just us fans watching.
Right.
And so that every team, every coach is watching and sees that process, and they filmed it beautifully. He ends up with his son, giving his son a hug, and you're like, that was the right call.
Right.
That was absolutely the right call. It may have cost him his career, but is career more important than your family? Nobody believes that, okay, except for maybe James Harrison. I'm not throwing him under a bus, but he's crazy.
I'm sorry.
He's crazy.
I think
you have a new hero, man crush, if you had one?
Yeah, if I had those things. But I just think that my newfound respect for this player, which was low.
Mine was low.
Is now skyrocketed. I think
rocketing flight.
It is. I think James Harris, he just gets in a stranger's car, man. He just straight out in the middle of the street, got into a stranger's car.
But it was a fan.
Well, yeah, it was.
They wouldn't have been driving by where they crossed the street if it weren't a fan. A short walk from the hotel. Their facility in Cincinnati,
yeah.
Wow. W-O-W. Yeah.
It is pretty.
Wow.
Speaking of facilities, I'm just going to tangent here for a second.
Yeah.
The thanks to Phil Knight, you know, and Nike, they basically gave the University of Oregon a new state-of-the-art facility for training. Oh, my God. I want to go play at the University of Oregon today. I'm serious. If you are a kid coming out of high school and you don't even consider playing at the University of Oregon, there is something wrong with you, kid.
So Nike can give teams facilities. We're back to the item we covered with
Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football, yeah.
It's like this is wrong that the players can.
Jeffrey, this, the weight room, the pool, the lockers. The lockers, the state-of-the-art lockers. You need a – they've all got an iPad built into them, and you need to have a code to open it. And your name is engraved in a laser plate. I was like – are you kidding me?
You know what? On my day, we had a stool, and we were grateful.
Exactly. I'm serious. If you guys have not checked out the ESPN spread on with the images of the new Oregon facility, check it out. It is fantastic.
Chargers. Dario Alexander.
I feel sorry for this kid. Last year at training camp, I got close to this kid. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time talking. Dario Alexander. And torn ACL, same injury as it really just been. The Chargers haven't come out and said that he's going to miss the season. But Jeffrey,
sure looking like it.
He's going to miss the season.
Generally, ACL is season ending. That's all there's to it.
Yeah.
It's not absolute, but it's
They couldn't confirm it because, you know, it had just happened and they needed to run some more tests and stuff. But for all likelihood, it's going to require season ending injury in – I just feel sorry for the kid because he could have really done some special things this year.
I'm going to actually make sure that we don't miss any. Skill. Oh, there we go. Wide receiver. I'm going to do a special sort here.
Okay.
On what I enjoy very much, rotoworld.com, player news, NFL.
Ah, yes.
And it's brought to you by NBC Sports, powered by NBC Sports, just to be complete. So Devin Thomas worked out for the Jags. Laurent Robinson is sitting. Earl Bennett has got a concussion. Joe Morgan, wide receiver, Saints, diagnosed torn meniscus and partially torn ACL and is done for the season.
Who is this?
Joe Morgan, Saints. Okay. Again, not high in their depth chart, but it makes the depth chart thin. Vincent Brown, wide receiver, Chargers. Figures to start off as a Malcolm Floyd following Dario Alexander's ACL tear, so you want to be looking at Vincent Brown to step in there. Jordy Nelson are hopeful that his knee will be ready for week one, but the things I heard this morning out of Packers camp is that they're really looking at week two or three with Jordy Nelson. Jerome Simpson is doing better. Terrence Williams has been diagnosed with a concussion. DeSean Jackson is having a strong camp. Keenan Allen has a long way to go. There you go. Aurelius Ben, diagnosed torn ACL, is done for the season. That is according to Jeff McClain on Twitter as of last night at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
So, but this, and again, this, what I just read you was as of less than 12 hours ago. Okay? So then you go in page two, and you have Darius Hayward-Bey, who's practicing for the Colts. You know, I mean.
Is he back at
he's
practice?
Day-to-day, he's day-to-day.
Well, and you haven't even mentioned names like Percy Harvin, who's
Jeremy,
on the pup list.
And Macklin. Jeremy Macklin. I can't even say it.
He's out for the year, right. So it's been huge. I mean, even Kevin Walter, who was signed by the Tennessee Titans away from the Houston Texans, he's out. And he's questionable for week one already. So
Justin Blackmon, groin.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Wide receivers are, you know, you can't.
How about the most obvious up in San Francisco? Yeah. Michael Crab Money Tree.
Yeah, Crabtree's Achilles. They're saying that he might be able to come back like week 12 or 13, but still, that's the entire season, basically.
Jordy Nelson underwent knee surgery.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah. I said that earlier.
we're not making this stuff up, friends. And you've got to wonder what it would take to keep these guys on the field, and if, in fact, the league has done itself a major misservice in having a CBA that includes such little time doing football work.
It's very player-friendly.
Is it player-friendly if players are missing out?
Are dropping out like flies.
So I was listening to SiriusXM NFL, and you had Rich Gannon at Green Bay. Hilarious story because, let's see, we got Rich Gannon and who's the old Raiders quarterback that does SiriusXM?
I don't know other than Gannon.
Okay, well, then I'm thinking of someone else then. He's the smaller guy. Oh, no, T-Rock's the big guy. Okay, so Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon lives in the Minneapolis area. And so he does all of the Vikings preseason games for television.
Yes, he does.
And so he decided to be the smart guy and fly from Minneapolis to Green Bay. Because those of us that have been to Green Bay know it's quite a trek to get there.
Right.
Usually you have to fly into Milwaukee and then have a many-hour drive north. Well, it took him like 12 hours for a 45-minute flight.
Oh, man.
Because of all these issues with weather, and then a smoke alarm went off in a bathroom when he was almost there, and they turned around and went back. He's like, it's shorter to go to land in Green Bay. And then they finally got in Green Bay, and then the weather delayed their landing, and it was hilarious. But anyways, what he was saying, what was the point of all this, Jeff? Please tell us, Master. I do not know.
He's having a conversation with himself.
Self? What the heck's wrong with you, son?
Where were you going?
Pull it out.
Rich Gannon.
Talking about at Packers camp this morning.
Packers camp.
Talking about, one of the guys on the defensive line, his wife is expecting a baby.
Okay.
Any day now.
Yes.
And he says out loud, I'm just hoping it's Friday around 6, which would be when they play their first preseason game.
Ah, okay, because he doesn't want to play in the preseason.
And all you hear behind him is laughter.
Okay.
All the guys, the players are just cracking up. Of course, who wants to play Friday? None of us want to play Friday. Look, I've got a news flash for the NFL players. You're not doing yourself a service by not being in football shape. Games matter. Preseason games matter. It's not important that you play a lot, but it's important that you play. These guys think it'd be hilarious to miss all the preseason. And there's a lot of them out there. Steven, it's most of them, except for your Drew Breeses and your Peyton Mannings. These are the guys that you can't get off the field.
Right.
But most players in the NFL think it'd be hilarious to miss the whole preseason. With some nagging little injury, then boom, week one, I'm good to go. Woo, 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 woo. It's not funny, guys. It's your careers that you're threatening.
They're also thinking about their careers.
They're thinking about injury, but they're not as concerned about injury as they are
I
a meaningless
think they
game.
Are. I think that the players who act like that are like, dude, I've seen a lot of people go down to season-ending injuries in a meaningless preseason game. I don't want that to be me.
We all
if
have.
If I want to go down, I want to go down in a regular season game where it counts, where it matters, where everybody's giving 100%.
Joe Morgan just tore his ACL out for the season. Whoa. New Orleans Saints. I just had him injured, Steven. We officially just got the word in. It's sad. Very, very sad. Very, very sad.
Out for season. NFL.com is reporting it as well as breaking news.
Ay, caramba.
So that is official.
That's that story. Guard Brandon Moore decides to retire one day after agreeing to join Cowboys. Jordan tells me last night, hey, Dad, really excited. We got Brandon Moore play guard for us. And I said to him, son, that's outstanding. Was he out there? He says, yeah. It was a free agent. I said, that's terrific because I remember watching him play in New York, and he was an outstanding contributor. Yeah, he's getting a little older, but he could certainly be a huge help to the Cowboys. Yeah. Did I wake this morning?
Yeah.
I'm retiring.
I actually woke up. I was a little groggy. I was a little late working last night.
Steven, up late? That never happens.
Trish is like, so Moore's not going to the Cowboys after all. And I'm like, what?
Pardon you?
And she's like, yeah, he retired. I'm like, he retired?
Who
retired?
Who retires one day after
signing?
After
you get a contract. I mean, you're sitting on your butt at home wishing somebody calls you.
You're watching training camp live on NFL Network.
Somebody calls you. You say, yeah.
And it happens to be the freaking Dallas Cowboys. Okay, even if you hate them, you go, that's a pretty good organization.
Exactly. And, he knows Bill Callahan because of Callahan.
Yes, and that's Jordan. Jets. Jordan's like, don't forget, Dad, yeah, that Bill Callahan, whom he spent all the time with, was his coach of the Jets.
So Callahan calls him. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to retire.
I love my family.
Yeah.
Again, he played the family card, and you can't blame him.
The family card.
The family card.
So there you go. Finally, in NFL news, Jay Cutler struggling in this new Trestman offense. Tossed four interceptions in practice yesterday, and then had just as many, if not more, balls batted down.
Say Jay Cutler struggling again.
Jay Cutler was struggling.
I'm sorry. I'm never going to hide my disdain for this man.
No, I understand. I understand.
We have history.
Four INTs, and then he started getting a little testy and upset at his defensive linemen who were batting. They were batting down passes at the line of scrimmage. Look, just to give you a little
context and perspective
about what happens when you're practicing. You're not really going full speed, so the offensive linemen on short drops aren't really chopping down the defensive linemen who are rushing.
They're not chipping them.
So there's an unwritten rule that, look, we're not going to go down and
chip you.
You're not going to jump to block down our quarterback's
You will
passing.
Jump up
no,
practice
no.
jumping,
you can put your,
but your arms you will be at your side.
Well, no, the rule is you can put your arms up as long as you don't jump.
I'd rather have my guys jump with their arms down to keep in shape and practice jumping.
No, you get injured that way. I'd much rather you just...
You want everyone with all legs on the ground
yes.
all the time. So nothing can happen.
Practice.
You
Put
want
your arms
electronic
up.
Football. Yeah. They just run real slowly. The whole
exactly.
field shakes, and they just bump into each other. And then somebody goes out of bounds, and then we blow the whistle.
And then you turn it off.
And then you turn And then you reset all your players. Yeah. And you start again.
If you've never played, I love it. I love it.
Loved electronic
football. I used to spend
hours.
More than hours. Days.
God, I loved it. And it made no sense.
Absolutely not
Nobody
whatsoever.
Went, well, there was a little
And then
dial,
they got the wheel. Well, no, those were the new and improved bases where the dial where you could change them so that they would move. And then sometimes you could just make them go around and around and around in circles.
I got a question. I mean, the guy who invented that little thing on the bottom that was supposed to make him go in a particular direction.
Yes.
Had he ever been in an earthquake trying to move? Because you generally go where the earthquake throws you.
Right.
Not where you're trying to go.
Yes.
So by putting a little
They
stick
did.
Up,
if
it
the,
improved
the thing
in
was,
a tiny bit.
The,
they
the,
became
the thing,
drunk. Instead of clueless, they became drunk.
Look. What happened was this dial, if you just turned it a little bit, the blocker would hit the person in front of him and start fading to one way or the other.
One out of bounds or the other and keep going.
Well, and that was the deal for the blocker. He wanted to open the hole for the running
and
back.
Hopefully someone will get a touchdown before we're done playing.
The thing is that those bases became those bases on that football game, the one with the dial, those became the ones nobody wanted. You wanted just the regular ones, the fast, because they were fast. With they had no dial, the regular base with no dial, they moved really fast. Well, maybe you didn't control the knob that did the velocity of the speed of the shaking. I mean, you were supposed to just barely, so that it barely moved. You had it up like full blast, and like they all freaking bounced around
there
and fell.
There were speeds of the shaking?
Yes.
I didn't have that option.
No wonder.
It was San Francisco 1907, dude. Every play.
1907.
It was the big one.
Yeah.
And
so you did not have the speed control that made it not be so bob because there was because usually maybe I just got like a newer edition. There was a speed control and you had it down at its lowest
maybe
setting,
you're
and it
the
was
rich
like
kid that had everything, Steven.
This is
nice.
What it sounded like. Now I could make it go like that, But generally, it just bzzz,
and I have belt just sanders that vibrate less.
Oh, man. I was not the rich kid that had everything. I had hand-me-downs, except for that. I bought it myself, my first job.
You stole it.
No, I stole it. Five-finger discount, okay?
Five-finger discount. No, I strapped it to my back. It's kind of big. It's not a pack of gum you're stealing
I
here.
Don't know how you steal.
I know. Hey, everybody, look over there.
Yeah.
A monkey.
You just walk out of it like you pay for it. I got my receipt. I got my receipt.
Back then, everything went in bags.
That's true, too.
Yeah, oh, those were the days. Steven, it's time for the mighty AFC North.
The AFC North preview. Jeffrey, we've got all the helmets.
Defending Super Bowl champion.
Next week, next Wednesday,
I gotta
when we get
job.
To the AFC West.
Next 1 week from today.
Yes.
The day after my birthday.
Yes. We need Denver Broncos.
You know what I want for my birthday?
What?
A Denver Broncos helmet.
You know what?
I can't believe you didn't see that coming.
I know. I was at Big Five Sporting Goods, and they had it. I should have just bought it.
Oh, then I would have had to write you a check, and yes. I don't like finding the checkbook. Hate finding the checkbook.
I should have just bought it. I'll buy it. I'm going now. I'm going to be down there, that area. Anyways, we'll start with the Baltimore Ravens. The defending Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. How does that sound?
It sounds – well, we were there. It sounds good. I believe –
We did it! Yo, D-Dog, we did it!
Oh, yeah.
You remember they start yelling at each other
in
post-game press conferences?
Yeah, it was crazy. So here is
– Ray! We did it!
That was amazing because we've been to a few Super Bowls. We've never seen that before.
No, we've not seen that
and
before.
And so the way that the Super Bowl ends is very different, and we've never detailed this story.
No.
It's very different than the way a regular game ends or even a playoff game, where typically in a playoff game you've got your media room and the players come in one by one and do their media time. But because it's the Super Bowl – they want to make as many players available to the press as they can simultaneously. So the first people, obviously, to show up will be the losing team.
Yes.
And for a lot of people who have never covered a Super Bowl, it's quite surprising because they're not ready to see these faces that have just lost a Super Bowl.
Right.
Because it's pretty depressing. And so it usually press wants to get to the locker room, and they want to get to the press room for that team. Well, there's a huge open cavernous space with a bunch of curtains, and basically there's a guy there's Randall on the public address that says, James Harrison will be at podium 12. And then he just, if you want to see James Harrison, you go to podium 12. And then they have a special room for the head coach, the quarterback,
and then
the MVP if it happens to be somebody that a quarterback, which it never is. And so – that room, because assuming that more people are going to want to set up in there. So you've got an open hallway underneath the stadium that's very unusual, just curtains separating these different things. So when the players get in there, especially the winning team, they're a little giddy.
Yes.
They're a little giddy. They haven't had a drink of booze yet. There's not been champagne popped yet.
No.
But they're a little giddy, and they've just come off the field. A few of them have given on-field interviews, but they haven't really seen each other.
Right.
So they get in there, they've got responsibilities to do interviews, and they just start figuring out, you know what? Oh, my God, I can't see you, but I hear you talking.
Right.
And they start just yelling at each other, good stuff, and it's a lot of fun.
It was
chaos, but
very
it was so much
enjoyable
fun.
Of the three Super Bowl winning teams that I've seen,
yeah,
these guys were the most fun. They really were thrilled to be the Super Bowl champion.
Steven, and that is why I predicted, once we got that far, I predicted them to be in the Super Bowl? Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
them and the Falcons.
You predicted them very
early. But the reason I picked them to win the Super Bowl, once we got that far and knew a lot more about them and things, they were the fun team. Jim Harbaugh is a pretty uptight guy. It's not that he's not fun, but he's business first, period.
Yes.
John is the older brother who's a little more chill, and he's, you can mix business and pleasure. They mix just nicely, and as Steve and I reported to you, all week we saw his guys at Harrah's Casino and down on Bourbon Street all week. We're like, dude, you guys are out past curfew. And they're like, that's okay. It's just a $1,500 fine. I'm like, I guess if you make that kind of bank, it really isn't that big a deal. Yes, yes. And we didn't see any 49ers that week in New Orleans.
No, I didn't. But that's right. I put Suggs' picture of myself.
You and T. Suggs standing outside of Harris at like 12:30 in the morning.
I was not out at 12:30 in the morning. I had a job responsibility.
Steven, you don't have a curfew. You don't have a curfew. I don't have a curfew. We stay out as late as we want. We're not playing in the Super Bowl.
I just give it to T. Suggs that he
posed for a picture. That was just hilarious.
Because he knew he had to get to his hotel.
Sure.
But you know,
he was already past curfew. How much further past curfew does it matter?
Exactly. I'm already late, so whatever.
If any of you parents out there have children that struggle to keep curfew, I would strongly encourage you to have a grade-aided system for punishment. If you're 5 minutes late past curfew, you get the small hammer. Half hour late, you get a bigger hammer. Hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Because I think if I'm a kid, this never occurred to me till just now because I feared my dad. And I broke curfew once or twice accidentally. The punishment was the same whether you were five hours late or 5 minutes late. What's your incentive to, once you're past curfew, what's your incentive to even come home?
Right.
Just an observation.
So do you have that grading? What happened to Jordan?
Jordan's always on. Jordan's missed curfew like once because he called.
No, most recently.
You're talking recently. Yeah. He doesn't have a curfew.
Oh, he's no more curfew. Then what's the problem?
He's an adult. Again, okay, once you get children that are in college,
yeah.
What I suggest, and every parent do whatever you like, but what I suggest, and we're talking to so few of our listeners, but all of you hopefully someday will have this problem. What we do with college student is this. You don't have a curfew, but we ask that you will treat us as you would a roommate that you care about. That's the key. Because most of us all have had roommates.
Some you care about, some you don't care about. What if he's never had a roommate that he cares about?
Well, he's the only roommates he's ever had has been his roommates this most recent year.
Okay.
And he loved those guys a lot. Okay. And so a roommate that you would care about, what would you want from them? How would you want to be treated by them? If they weren't going to come home, wouldn't you want to know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And if they were going to be out unusually late, wouldn't you want to know so you don't worry about them? We're not asking for a parent-child relationship here. We're asking for a respectful roommate relationship.
I lived in singles all my life in college, so I never had a roommate.
You have a roommate now. If you weren't coming home, would you tell Trisha?
It's my wife. That's a little different.
It's the same principle as in she is your roommate and she's your wife.
She's my wife.
Would you tell her that if you weren't coming home, if you were going to come home unusually late?
Of course.
Of course you would. Because she's your wife and you're pussy whipped?
Yes. That's exactly
That is why. Not true,
Not because
Steven.
She's my roommate.
You call her as a courtesy.
Okay, I'm just
as
telling you. I've never had a roommate.
So it's not a courtesy. It's because you're afraid of her.
No. No.
It's respect.
I like my wife to know what's going on.
It's respect. That's our point.
Yes, it
is. And so for our son, that is his rule. So when he didn't come home after Frisbee till 2:30 in the morning,
yes,
was impossible to reach him, and he had not told us, and Frisbee ends at 9:30.
Yes.
He had an issue with his mom. I was
asleep.
It's 5 hours. I was asleep, so I didn't really care.
You didn't care. You were out of it.
But his mom, his phone was off. He was with a girl and la-di-da-di-da.
Is he still with this girl, by the way?
That's a personal question.
Oh, okay. That's for off air?
Well, absolutely. Okay. But I'm just, given that my son listens to the show and some of his friends listen to the show, I'm going to play the respect card for my kid.
There you go. Jordan, call your uncle, man. I need to know what's up.
He hasn't seen you in a long time.
I know, man. It's been
okay. So the Baltimore Ravens, they went through a bit of a bloodletting post Super Bowl.
Is that what you want to call it?
Well, usually get a brain drain of your coaches, which get picked apart like mad.
Yes.
But what's weird is the Baltimore Ravens go and win a Super Bowl, and their coaching staff stays largely intact. But many of their players, as we always emphasize with the Ravens, they were getting on the side of older. And so some of them moved on. They were in contract years. They were free agents to be. And so they took the great opportunities that were ahead of them. And it was very, very strange seeing what's his name in Houston? Ed Reed?
Yes.
And down in Houston with the Texans and having a ball down there in Houston. But guys have moved on. And there has been an enormous number of losses to this team on the offense and defensive side where so many people, Steven, and you know this, but for our listeners, this may come as a shock. So many people, the majority of pundits are not picking them to even win their division.
I'm one of those guys.
Okay, Steven Miranda is one of those guys. Yeah. I'm probably one of those guys because their division, with the case of the Cincinnati Bengals, has gotten a lot better.
And okay. I think the Steelers will bounce back as well.
Steelers are due to bounce back because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And the Cleveland Browns, don't worry about it. Show is short, I understand. But so the Baltimore Ravens, the team that Steven will require that I have as number one on my power rankings, require.
That is a requirement.
Doesn't have them winning the division. So I don't know how you're number one in a power rankings when you're not going to win your division.
You have to start out that way.
Understood.
As the season progresses.
You've taught me. You've taught
me. As the season progresses, you will find out real quickly if the defending Super Bowl champion remains number one.
Right.
I don't believe that. I'm projecting the future. But right now at this moment, they're number one.
Well, my power rankings always wanted to reflect the future.
I see.
That's how I always wrote mine.
And see, I think that was the issue.
Well, and which hence prompted Steven to create his own power rankings because he couldn't tolerate the fact that mine were the only ones up there and mine were dumb from his point of view. Because mine.
Why do you use words that would never come out of my mouth?
Because I prefer to use words that would be in your brain and you would self-censor because you're a gentleman. But that is the word that's in your brain, is it's dumb. Am I lying?
I don't respect them.
You don't ever self-censor.
I don't think they were ever self-censor. No, you have to.
If you don't self-censor in life, you're a jerk. Okay? You are the biggest jerk in the world.
Well, sometimes I can be a jerk. I'm very rarely a jerk. But if the situation calls for you to be a jerk, then I can be one.
In our relationship with the case of the power rankings,
yes,
you self-censor enormously by just saying, I don't like them. I don't care for them.
Yeah,
it's not my preference.
That's not the way I would do them. Yes.
It's not how I would do them. Yes. But you have stronger thoughts in your head.
I don't know.
It's just a suspicion. I don't know for that for a fact.
Yeah, I don't.
But I suspect that you have thoughts like they're dumb because it's so different than how you approach things. And we approach things differently.
Yes.
So but in my power rankings,
Ed Reed gone, Ellerby gone. You've got Ray Lewis, who was gone by choice, who's retired. I think they released Brendan Iambadejo. I mean, there's a lot of names on their defense that were a staple of what this Baltimore Ravens defense was. Those names aren't there anymore.
Right.
So they did bring in Elvis Dumervil after his fiasco with the Denver Broncos and the
it was
we're
his
gonna
agent
sign you,
getting his contract faxed in time.
And it didn't go in and booty booty. And so, you know, he's now a Baltimore Raven, so that's going to help a little bit. But once again, as I've been doing with these preview shows, I'm looking at the team's offense and I'm looking at the team's defense, and I'm going to say, did they improve or did they get worse?
Deprove?
I was about to say that. Or did they get worse? And
improve or devolve?
Offensively, I think they're the same. But defensively, I think they've taken a huge step back. And I think that we're going to see that in the first several games of the season. Because, look, right off the bat,
I didn't think defensively they were that good. Yes, they had injury last year. Most of the season they were missing what's his name?
Lewis missed a lot of it. Suggs missed a few games there.
Yeah, so, I mean, they frequently struggled on defense last year. Look. And you think, Steven, that they're worse on defense this year.
Right off the bat, they go to Denver to play the Denver Broncos in Denver.
It's going to be rough.
And that's the opening, that's the NFL opener, September 5th.
And many people in Baltimore still annoyed that the Orioles did not move their game.
I'm a little annoyed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When you're playing one of 162 baseball games, the least you can do.
Oh, and by the way, by then you're not even freaking going to be in a race.
Baltimore's.
They're not going to be in the race by then.
The Yankees ain't, and the Rays are there, and the Red Sox are there. They're probably not. You're right.
No, No, I know they're not.
Okay, you've looked, apparently.
Yes.
You're angry enough that you've looked.
And I'm like, you couldn't, you know, and I, if I'm the NFL, I'll be like, I have taken note. I've taken note. When you have a World Series game that you would like to, you know,
when you'd like to move a postseason game
for some
an October baseball game that you would like us to move a football game for, guess what?
I've taken note.
We've noted that, and you're going to pull a little Barack Obama, Vladimir Putin, and say, oh, that meeting we had next week? Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That Snowden thing? Don't think I've forgotten about that Snowden thing. We're not meeting in a couple days. And, yes, we had significant things to talk about, but guess what? We're not anymore. Because you don't slap somebody and expect no outcome, no result, no consequence. NFL has always taken a deferent stance against toward MLB. MLB postseason, we want – look, you are America's game. We want to keep the tradition of baseball thriving, and we think it's good for our sport, frankly.
Right.
And so if one of our preseason games was to conflict with a game, we'll move it because we know how embarrassing it would be to see that our preseason game will get better ratings than your postseason game.
Right.
And the NFL has always been careful not to shove the Major League Baseball nose in the dookie that is where they are and what their place is.
I think
you're America's
this,
pastime, but you're not America's passion.
After this.
Yeah, you may see the gloves come off a little.
This is my NFL opener, my season opener, where we've always had the defending Super Bowl champions play at home.
Yeah, no, we got a game at Camden Yards, and we can't afford to have all the traffic. It'll be a headache.
Yes.
Play a day game that day.
And you can't play in the day?
Play a day game that day. We don't get the ticket sales and the concession sales and the parking. And you know what? We may lose $100,000. We'll give you $100,000 to do it. Yeah, no, it's offensive to our fans.
We got to get to all our fans, and we got to refund tickets.
Yeah,
and,
it's such a hassle.
Yeah. So
okay, noted.
I've got this in my back pocket now for the future.
Nice. So.
That's how I'd play this.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you, Steven.
You do me a solid, I will do you solids for any time. You don't want to help me out here?
I'm going to go all Obama Putin, and I'm going to spank you.
I will spank you. But anyways, what I'm saying is after Denver, though, I mean, come on. After Denver, they got Cleveland, they got Houston, they got Buffalo, they got Miami.
Reasonably easy schedule.
It starts off
Houston's going to be tough.
Yes.
Denver's going to be tough. Green Bay's going to be tough. Pittsburgh's going to be tough. They have a balanced schedule, Steven. I think the Ravens, there's no reason that they don't come out and have.
I'm not saying they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm just not sure they're going to win their division.
Okay. That's a fair statement. Because last year, I've got. Last year, they finished with 10 wins, tied with Cincinnati. They owned the tiebreaker there, which had them win the AFC North. I still think they can win 10 games. And, again, we haven't gone through the masterful James Reese's spreadsheet, new and updated for 2013. Sexy as all get out with direct links to things like depth charts. It's gotten crazier than it's ever been, and it was always crazy. This is going out to show donors. Don't you all worry that in the next 2 days you will have the masterful masters, James Reese's, NFL Rants and Raves 2013 prediction spreadsheet where you pick every single NFL game and you'll be stunned at what happens at the end where he tallies it all, he shows you the playoffs, and then you pick your playoff games, and then you know you're a Super Bowl winner. After spending about 40 minutes, you will have picked your Super Bowl winner.
Yes.
And you'll find my team is going to struggle more than I thought.
You'll have records for every team.
Every team.
They'll be perfect.
Tiebreakers. I mean, it'll all be there.
Scenarios, the whole
it's way. So much fun.
It is.
And when you click on a team, you go to their website. Boom, you go to a depth chart. So much fun. All in one little package for show donors only. And if show donors have not looked at Steven's punishment, singing London Bridge is Falling Down in Hyde Park, you are missing out.
Someone tweeted, I know, Steven, you don't like it, but, man, that was so much fun.
Yes.
It's one out of about, like, 10,000.
Hey, anybody that sees the world as I do is an instant friend.
Okay, there you go. I think he was already your friend. It was Derek Hanlon.
Good show, look.
I think he has some respect for you because he had to carry you to a taxi cab one night in London.
He carry me? He held my hand. It's an enormous difference.
There you go.
And together, Steve and I have dropped 40 pounds.
That's what it is.
I think so.
Yeah.
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 So you'll be seeing smaller versions of us.
Smaller.
I got this tangent before we move on.
Okay.
The mustache. I told you this, didn't I?
No.
Okay. So the mustache, which I grew to do a Mike Ditka joke, and we never did the joke.
No.
And so I've just left it because, as many men will understand, facial hair is nice because it means you have to shave less. They're like, what do you mean? It's just your lip. No, if you have a two-day beard, when you have any facial hair, a goatee or a mustache, people just go, whatever. But if you have no facial hair and a two-day beard, you look like a bum.
Right.
So that's why Steven and I have facial hair, because we don't like to shave. It's real simple. And any man that can grow facial hair probably should, because then you don't have to shave as often. Now, the mustache coincides with 2.5 months of pretty serious working out. I've eaten very, very well for the last 15 years, but I had plateaued in my weight loss. So now I'm working out to go along with it daily, 6 days a week. And I'm seeing the pounds drop rather rapidly because I'm already eating right. Well, what people do, this coincides with the mustache, Steven. So people keep telling me what a powerful impact this mustache makes.
Oh, God.
And really most people love the mustache. I'm like, no, what you're seeing is less fat. But they don't know that because it coincided with the mustache. And I kind of like that. So I'm going to encourage you guys, if you're going to lose
weight.
You're not
going to keep the mustache, are you?
I want to see how it looks on TV. So I'm going to do week
one of
Sky.
So you're going to do 1 week.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I need to see that tape.
Can't we just film you here with all of our nice equipment?
No, I need to see
we'll
the set.
We'll put it on the big screen
no,
for you.
I need
you.
To see the set.
Okay.
And I need to see how it looks in our little box live from L.A. With the cityscape behind us and everything like that on the green screen.
Yeah.
And I need to see how it looks next to you and with us interacting and things because I need to know that it's adding to the team.
Okay.
And plus, if I shaved it off, then people would be like, wow, you've lost a lot of weight. And I'd have a big white spot above my lip because I have a deeper tan than I usually do because I'm out exercising outdoors.
Okay.
So I'm afraid of the white spot underneath the hair.
It'll get.
Well, covered with makeup, sure.
Yeah.
It'll eventually even out, but I don't like looking like a freak.
Well, you already do because you have a mustache.
Anyway, so guys, if you're going to go about.
The mustache kind of makes you look like a freak. So
if you're going to. Oh, God. So saw the Anchorman again last night or part of it. Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Yes.
It's just awesome.
They stay classy, have, San Diego.
You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
He'll read whatever's on the teleprompter.
Who put a question mark after his name? He reads anything that's on the teleprompter.
Anything?
I'm Ron Burgundy. Anyway, they all have horrible mustaches.
Yes.
Circa 1970s. And yes, I look like I could be a porno director wearing this mustache.
It's pretty
bad. But you know what? I also could be ushering in a new era of taste in America. And so we'll see how it goes. I'm going to stick with it. The point was, guys, if you're going to attempt weight loss and you're serious, grow facial hair.
There you go.
Facial hair. And then people won't. Because I really, and this I'm going to work into a stand-up routine one day. Does anybody really – you don't mind when people say, hey, wow, you look great. You've lost a lot of weight. But isn't the corollary to that, wow, you were fat? So, again, when people say, hey, wow, you look great. You've lost a lot of weight. What they're really saying is, wow, you're really fat.
You used to be fat.
And so I don't want that. I don't want people saying I've lost weight because they're saying that you were fat. So the mustache, it'll take all the heat for the entire look.
Wow.
And it's like a magician with a pretty assistant. It's a distraction from what's really going on.
Jeff's a boob.
Let's continue.
All right, well, let's finish. You never quite ever told me where you saw the Baltimore Ravens. Are they winning this division? If you go out, you can tell us too, people. If you go out to our website, www.nflrnr.com, on the sidebar there is a poll asking who do you think is going to win the division, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns, or the Steelers, let us know, and we'll tell you next week.
Right now, I believe Baltimore retains the division title because the thing that I noticed last season, the reason I picked Atlanta and Baltimore to win their respective conferences and represent the Super Bowl was because both quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco, were in their fourth year in the NFL. And that's where typical maturity, if it's going to take place, takes place.
Yeah.
And Joe Flacco, sure enough, stepped up, as did Matt Ryan, and became true leaders of their team
right.
and took significant steps in their progress. Joe Flacco is not going to back off of that success, and he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's going to continue to do significant things. He can put a ball on a dime, and he can move and expand plays with his legs, and that makes him an elite quarterback in this league that nobody talks about.
All right. I mean, that's good. I just – my thing, when if I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens and I'm looking at them objectively, yes, they were the defending Super Bowl champions, but I want you to take this into account. They were a last-second, barely missed field goal by the Dallas Cowboys from losing that game, and they were a crazy 4th-and-29
blown coverage
against the San Diego Chargers
blown coverage
from losing that game. That's 8-8.
Well, and don't forget about the Denver postseason game in Denver where
right. –
Where the safety allowed the running back to get – or the wide receiver to get behind him.
So,
I mean, so that's how close they were to not going to the Super Bowl.
Right. They were really close to being an 8-8 team in the AFC and not even
correct.
Making the playoffs.
But so, good teams win those games that you shouldn't win.
They didn't win those games. The other teams gave them those games.
Good teams have that happen. When I say win those games, I mean come out with a W.
No, I'm saying that a team had gone in position to kick
right.
a field goal.
And bad
was
teams
a field
screw
goal
up.
And, well,
and what had happened to Baltimore the year before that? They were a missed field goal away from going on.
Right.
Okay? And then they became a little bit better, and the balls
I'm talking
tend
about
to bounce.
This. I'm talking about just making the playoffs. I'm not talking about in a playoff game. I'm talking about a couple games where craziness happened. Craziness, and I'm talking about almost as close to the craziness as the Seattle beating the Green Bay Packers craziness that allowed them to get those 10 wins and become the division champion.
You're not talking butt fumble crazy, are you?
No.
Okay, because I mean that's
like
a new level
that
of crazy.
Is, he would have sat for the rest of the season if he were my quarterback after that play. I'm just
instead, he's going to start on Friday. This, by the way, since we covered the Jets last time, we do need to bring this news item to you that
yes.
Mark Sanchez will start their first preseason game.
Yes.
Why? Because he's the incumbent.
Don't read anything into it, though.
Read this into it. He's the incumbent.
Yes.
And the coach is deferring to the incumbency.
All right.
That's it. So, the Baltimore Ravens, I'm pretty high on. Stevens, not as much. Let's move on to the next squad that we have got to talk about here, and that is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, you want that?
And angry.
I've got that.
Touchdown Bengals. Put some points up on the board and win the game for Cincinnati.
Woo!
Cincinnati Bengals.
Woo!
Wow, they don't suck no more.
All right, so
yeah, talk to
I've
me.
Got, I'm sorry, I just got a text. I've been a part of this group of
cult?
Women who have
love cult
children of the same age as them.
I thought you were gonna say that are mine, and I'm like, that'd be bad. Okay.
And I've been graciously welcomed into these group of women. Because we have a play date every Tuesday. Where
so
our kids,
it's a mops club, mothers of preschoolers, but you're a male.
Well, it's not preschool. They're kinder.
Well,
first
now they're in kinder. They're now first they're in first grade. But you've been, you know, since
no,
they're preschoolers.
I met them in their kindergarten
okay.
class. These were friends of hers from kindergarten.
So it's a play date club.
Play date club. And so I've been taking, you know, my girl pretty much to all these play dates. And so now I'm on there. Now I get texts from them. And apparently the school list for first grade came out today.
Ah, who's in what class?
And, these moms are not happy.
About what teacher they got.
With the result, yes.
Yeah.
So I need to calm them all down. I feel it's my need as the
Male
presence to kind of calm everybody, to let them know it's all going to be all right. We'll work it out, you know, and stuff. But they are. The texts are flying right now.
Okay.
Jeff.
Well, meanwhile.
Back to Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati, where we just enjoyed
AJ
Hard Knocks
is a beast.
Last night.
I like when the coach was telling James Harrison that he could not touch AJ Green.
That freaked me out. Because James comes back with, I'm going to touch whoever I want to touch, however I want to touch him. You're not the boss of me kind of thing.
James went back down. And the coach was like, no, really, I hear you. I understand you, but you really can't hurt this guy.
There's
James
an
like,
episode.
But I'm not going to let him do his job because that means I'm not doing my job.
There's an episode of The Office where Stanley, who is the larger, older black man mm-hmm. in the show, has a confrontation with Steve Carell's character, who's the boss.
Okay.
And they have a showdown. And Steve Carell loses. Uh-huh. That can't happen. Okay, James Harrison stood up to a coach, and the coach lost.
Okay.
That's not supposed to happen. And now, they made it clear that it's not going to affect James Harrison one way or the other because he's sitting in his corner by himself doing his thing, as you saw in the meeting room, which was very weird.
Yeah.
He's just sitting over in a corner while everyone's around a conference table except James. And in this, what we had at the end of The Office is one of the best episodes ever, which is called, if you want to look for it, Did I Stutter? Which Seth Stanley's response was, what do you mean that you think I'm the worst boss ever? Did I stutter? And you can't have that. It's bad for The Office for the bosses to not be in charge. Even if you don't respect them, you got to respect the positional authority that they have in your life. James Harrison doesn't play on that planet where that's a rule. He plays on the, I have to be ready all the time. I am always on my A game. I bet that if he shops for a pair of shoes, he makes sure that he gets them at half price because then he won. If he doesn't get them at half price, he loses. I mean, the guy is competing. They said that when they went bowling, he walked in and he says, I will destroy people today. To go bowling. We're bowling, James. I know. I'm going to destroy people. James, you are a strange man.
He likes to compete.
He lives to compete.
Look, and bottom line is, did you see the highlights of him destroying the Bengals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now he's going to be doing that for the Bengals, not against
them.
Who's
he going to do it to?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. The Baltimore Ravens. Oh,
Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't even know. I can't wait till we get to Pittsburgh Steelers.
Weehaw.
You saw my question.
That game, week two, Monday Night Football.
I'm there.
Monday Night Football.
How are we making it?
We can't.
Is it in Pittsburgh or Cincinnati?
It's in Cincinnati.
Come on. I know people in Cincinnati.
I've already had the feeling this year that because we're doing two London trips and we're trying to not go completely broke personally, we're doing less. And so I have this Jones in me, a couple of them left.
Sandwiched in between the London
One of
trips,
my Joneses going to Dallas. Is the battle for Ohio.
Okay.
I want to, in a weekend, see a Bengals game and a Browns game in the same weekend.
Well, why don't we just say when they play each other?
No. I want to drive from Cincinnati up to Cleveland.
Okay.
Did I say that right?
Yes, you're right.
From Cincinnati up to Cleveland?
Cincinnati's down at the bottom.
Okay, Cleveland's on the lake there. Yes. And I want to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and stuff. I want to do it in that order because I've been to Cincinnati.
Well, then for there, we got to go to Canton.
We should go to Canton on the way. But it's like I've got to do the Ohio weekend.
Okay.
Where I go to both and I see both fans. I am just obsessed with how are Jets and Giants fans different?
Yes.
How are Raiders and 49ers fans different? I'm obsessed with this.
You are obsessed.
And so for two teams in the same division – that are in the same state, I know they're separated by about a four-hour car ride. Yes. I'm fine with that.
Yes, you are.
Steven knows I love road trips. So the Cincinnati Bengals, who they brought in new? They brought in Tyler Eifert, the tight end, whom I loved. Was I not screaming at the draft for somebody to take Tyler Eifert?
You were.
21, he went finally to them from Notre Dame. One of my favorite. There's two tight ends I thought were sexy as all get out in the draft. And Tyler was one. The Stanford kid was the other. And very happy they have him. He's going to be very effective. And then, streak for the cash.
You and your streak for the
cash.
Damn
it. I played the win, loss, or draw versus two goals. And they won 5-0.
Oh.
That wasn't even close. Zenit St. Petersburg won 5-0. It's really unfortunate.
Well, they've acquired James Harrison. They have not much.
Just know
else.
I picked the Juventus draw yesterday in regulation.
Great.
They lost some penalties, but
That tight end looks good.
Juventus.
But how about Jermaine Gresham going up against Atkins?
Yeah.
Gino.
And, Gino.
Gino was mad. Gresham was offsides, dog.
He was offsides, but all anyone seemed to care about there was how
he
finished.
How he took him down.
Yeah.
He took him down.
I'm like, dude, you jumped.
Yeah.
You jumped clearly by a half a step. It wasn't even close. The guy didn't have a prayer. By the time the ball snapped, it was the Oklahoma
Gino
drill.
Gino does have about 40 pounds on Gresham, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, as a bigger guy, you're always stunned to find yourself on the receiving end
of a hard blow.
Like, yeah. I'm on my way to the ground. Yeah. Hold on!
Yeah,
that don't happen to me!
What happened?
That don't happen to me! So, yeah. Andy Doolin-Dalton, 3,700 yards almost last year, 27 touchdown passes, good season, and we expect good things out of the kid. I was stunned to see how his wife, who's smoking hot, that she's now teaching Pilates
yes.
and has got a full Pilates room in their home, including things apparat-high that I had never seen in my life.
Yes.
The suspension stuff?
Yes.
That was crazy. I'm sure that in the high-end gyms they have this, but never a gym that I've been in. And I've never been to a Pilates class, I'll be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, man.
But Andy Dalton now has been doing hardcore core work this offseason. And look, he is stronger, faster than he's ever been, and he's maturing. He's still a dork off the field, okay? He will always be a redhead off the field. He's just not comfortable yeah. off the football field. But on the football field, he has everyone's respect there. So it's 27 TDs, 16 interceptions, 4 fumbles. That's a great rating and percentage that you want there. Had a completion percentage of 63%. Andy Dalton is the man out of TCU in his third year in the league.
Did you know that Marvin Lewis was the second most tenured head coach in the NFL?
Hadn't occurred to me, but I would have guessed because I just remember that he should have been fired, I thought, a long time ago. But he is clearly – he's now where he belongs.
Yeah.
They fixed the organization. The organization was broke.
Yes.
And when they had players getting arrested every third day,
yes.
he didn't belong there. But they've turned it around, and they've got class people there, and it's good to see. And Cincinnati, the injuries that they're looking at right now, A.J. Green is probable as a wide receiver. A.J. Hawkins
Well, A.J. Green,
is
let's
out.
Just clear that for everybody who may not know or is not watching Hard Knocks. It is a knee bruise. Fortunately,
right.
There was two
scary. Bruises. There was a bone bruise and then a big outside the knee visible bruise.
Not good for that knee bruise, but you know it could have been worse.
Seems unlikely we'll see Andrew Hawkins this week in week one, but he should be back.
Do you think that the law firm and the rookie Giovanni Bernard are they going to be split backs?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's the
Which
way
means
things
you don't
are.
Want, in fantasy football, you don't
you,
want either.
You generally want to avoid all the wide receivers. It's too bad because, look.
No,
I mean,
I'm taking running back.
Anybody that gets 100 carries and 1,350 yards, you might want to have, 11 touchdowns? How many? 11? Okay, what you want from your running back is 8. 9's good. 10's better. 11's.
Who are you talking about here?
I'm talking about A.J. Green. I'm sorry. I was talking about A.J. Green.
Yeah,
we're talking about the law firm.
We're talking about running backs.
Sorry, but I got really excited there.
You did.
I saw the numbers. I am playing.
Make sure that you're looking at the numbers for the person we're talking
1,100
about.
1,100 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Again, how many yards do you want from a running back? 1,000.
That's a little
That's low. A lot these days. No. What do you want from fantasy football running backs? You're generally going to have one guy over 1,000 yards that you took with your first pick.
Right.
And the next guy maybe 800, 750.
Yeah.
To get 2,000-yard running backs, you had to go out last year and find yourself a diamond in the rough kind of Washington.
Alfred Morris.
Almo kind of guy.
Which
where
I
you
did.
So did I. And he carried me to many great things, but not far enough.
I wound up pairing him up with Adrian Peterson.
That's just sick.
That's just
sick.
Big money
sick.
League last year.
That is sick.
Yes.
It
also helped that Tony Romo and Dez Bryant started hooking up a lot.
They did.
So
once
between
past week four,
between Morris, Peterson, Romo, and Dez, I didn't need anybody else.
Y'all can just take the week off. So the law firm, is gonna be good, but. I don't know what they're going to do. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, this dude looked amazing yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Giovanni. I'm talking about how fast that guy is.
Mm-hmm.
If he can stay healthy,
he may start to take more. He may be more than just a third down back.
So yeah, right now, said, right now we've got, but he's so little.
Dude,
listed
man.
At 5'8 and 3/8. 5'8 and 3/8.
Alfred Morris is what? 5'9?
Yeah, but then I think about San Diego Chargers running back.
Darren Sproles?
No. The guy who's injured
Saints?
All the time. The
oh, Ryan
the
Matthews.
He's Ryan
bigger.
Matthews.
He's a big guy.
He's bigger, but yeah, he's more in the Sproles, but he's so much faster. Yeah. Steven, he made cuts last night where it looked like his shoulder was going to touch the ground.
Yeah. I'm telling
freak
you.
Freak of nature skills.
Right now, he may Giovanni be slated Bernard. For just a third down back, but the fact that he catches the ball out of the backfield
yeah,
and that he's just lightning quick, they may get him on the field more often, which is going to see, which means that the law firm is going to see dwindles in his carry. He's not going to get the ball as much, and maybe he doesn't get those 1,100.
They need the law firm because reminder that your good guy, Giovanni Bernard, tore his ACL during 2010.
Yeah.
So he's potentially, he's had knee injuries before besides just the ACL. So you do have to keep an eye on his health and fitness, and so you do not want to lose the likes of a law firm. So I like this team a lot. Hard Knocks is going to be great for these guys. I think it's going to be very difficult in fantasy football to get any Bengals players at the price where you should get them because they're going to tend to go a little higher than they should.
Yes.
Because they're getting televised every week and people are starting to see how good this team is.
Yeah, I don't know. Fantasy football is weird. And I think I'm starting to see the value in auction drafts. Just because, look, you now have a shot to get every single player.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you're drafting. Where you're,
if there's a guy you really, really want you can have him.
You can have him. You can go pay the
price.
It
may cost you too much, and you may not have the rest of a team, which could be problematic.
Yeah.
But you're never prohibited from getting a player.
I'll pay $100 for Adrian Peterson. I'll take half my $200.
Yo, dude.
And I'll pay $100 for Adrian Peterson.
Right now, it's like if I'm not number one picking,
yeah,
I have no idea who I'm taking. But if I'm number one and somebody – if I'm in a league where somebody doesn't take Adrian Peterson first, yeah, I'm going to reach through the internet and slap them silly.
I just remember last year –
it's important to get
so
your good quarterback.
Saying, looking at me funny because I had Adrian Peterson number
dude,
one.
Dude, we didn't know how he was going to come back from multiple knee surgeries.
Don't ever question me ever again. If you questioned me last year because I had Adrian Peterson number
one – I didn't question you. I'm simply saying now
– telling
this
you,
time last year,
anybody,
we didn't know.
I'm telling you, anybody. I knew.
What kind of numbers did you think he was going to put up?
I thought he'd have 1,300 yards.
Okay, so you were wrong.
He smashed that.
It right. Was,
he did better
you were
than
wrong.
What I anticipated.
You were wrong.
No, I wasn't. He did better than what I anticipated.
Most of us thought he would get less
than
1,000.
Yes,
and
exactly.
We were wrong.
You were wrong by exponential
yeah.
amount than what I was wrong by.
But we were both wrong.
I was laughed at for him being number one.
I'm not going to apologize for anybody.
Was he number one? So I was not wrong.
You were not wrong because
he was number one.
He was the top running back in football.
There you go.
Okay, by a large margin.
Exactly.
By a near historic margin.
That's all I'm saying.
But you didn't know that. And you didn't even predict that in your wildest dreams.
No.
That he would nearly double the output that you optimistically expected him to reach.
Yeah, I had more getting more touchdowns. So I had him 1,300 yards with a little bit more touchdowns. He just wound up getting everything more than I had completely
it was crazy.
Anticipated.
So, again, if he had gotten 1,000, sub-1,000, then we would have been right.
And
it would have been the story you expected, which was – good for him just getting back to getting 1,000 yards after right. multiple knee surgeries.
Yeah.
What he did was one of the greatest feats in sports.
It's amazing.
I mean, it really should go down as a
2,500
historic.
25.
I know. I know. And if anybody could actually pull it off, though, it's not like they have a great throwing team.
Yeah, well.
They have a decent throwing team.
It's going to be very interesting.
Anyways, Baltimore.
Cincinnati Bengals. I am going to pick this team to take the next step.
And win the division.
Last year, I promised Houston Texans fans playoffs and a division title. They got that. This year.
You promised Houston Texans fans they would win a playoff game.
I did. So
something that they had never done before. Yes, so that was important.
Cincinnati Bengals, I am giving them the division and at least AFC Championship game.
So you got them against the Broncos.
Which means they will be winning playoff games. What they haven't done.
Ridiculous. Them against Denver in the AFC title game.
I haven't put Denver there yet.
Yeah, you have. No, we haven't even talked about it.
We haven't even talked about it.
We haven't talked about it at all.
Yes. I'm just saying, Bengals fans, Stephen Miranda's there with you.
This is the year. Rock on, enjoy it. But I can never wear an Andy Dalton jersey.
Neither could I. If I wore any jersey for the Cincinnati Bengals, it'd be A.J. Green or maybe James Harrison. I might put on the
James Harrison. I don't want to see him again.
He scares you. He scares you. You had an experience with him in the locker room once, yep. And it scared you, and you're a changed man. And so he scares you.
That is perfectly said, Stephen. And I don't say that to you ever. I am a changed man.
You see? I understand.
When you stand along with two other people in an empty locker room with that man only wearing a towel – and you think he might be in a coma, and all he's mumbling is, it hurts. His tears are rolling down his cheeks.
He's being honest. What more can you want from a man?
To respect his coach.
Now you're back to yesterday. Look, part of me thinks, do you really think that's how he was disrespecting his coach?
Yeah.
I think he was having fun.
I don't think he
has I think fun. He was messing around. No, I think he's having fun. He had fun when he jumped into the dude's stranger's car.
That was funny.
And I think he was having fun with his coach. I think he was egging him on a little bit. Kind of like I love watching Hugh Jackson finally, defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer finally tell him, hey, don't you have anything to do? Get out of here. Stop talking to my guys on
that
defense.
Awesome.
Are your running backs set? Is that what you're trying to tell me? The running backs are good. They've got nothing to do.
That was really good.
Good show. Cincinnati Bengals. There you go. Massive props. Let's go to the Cleveland Browns. Brownie time.
Browns.
My only question that I have here, Jeffrey, if you have to answer this right now, look at me. Me only. Nothing else. Is Brandon Weeden the guy?
For this team, right now, why not?
Why not's never what you want to hear about your starting quarterback?
Am I right or wrong?
I don't believe he's the guy. My answer's no.
Could the reincarnation of John Elway make this a good team?
You saying John Elway in his prime?
Sure.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
They have enough.
I think so.
On offense
and
defense and special teams.
Was pretty special as a rookie
last
year. The
only thing with this team that's preventing them from going to the playoffs is the quarterback.
I agree.
I'm not saying that. You agree with that statement.
Yes.
You're not agreeing with me. You agree with that statement.
Let me finish. I said the statement.
Yeah, I completely disagree. I think that the problems on this team are its name is Legion, for it is many. Yeah. Trent Richardson, obviously, is the boss.
Yeah.
Okay. But they don't have a lot else. They don't have a lot else at the wide receiving core. They don't have enough at the tight end position. They just – they don't got it. And they never will. No, I wanted you don't know. No, I wanted – and you never, ever will.
Yes.
Sorry.
I think that the Cleveland Browns are not that bad. I think that if they had a quarterback who they really 100% knew was their guy, they'd be all right. But I don't think they got – look, they reached with Weeden, and he was okay last year. He wasn't – you know, he wasn't stinky poo-poo, but he wasn't really –
I mean, 14 touchdowns, 17 picks. That's not great. Now, it's never great when you throw more interceptions than you threw TD passes, but he threw for over 3,300 yards.
Apparently, everybody throws for over 3,000 yards in the NFL these days.
Yeah, 4,000 is the new 3,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So, Mike, just one of my observations of many is that when you've got cast-offs from what is a euphemism, a better word for the SH word that we don't want to use. But it's such a good word sometimes. Stinky poo-poo is what we've typically used.
Stinky when you've got a, works.
When you've got a team, a core of wide receivers that are cast-offs of stinky poo-poo teams.
Yes.
Devon Best, David Nelson. Okay, and these are the guys you're relying on, and they were not welcomed on stinky poo-poo teams. That means your team's stinkier poo-pooier.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Good teams don't add guys that are cast-offs from the Oakland Raiders, from the Buffalo Bills.
Well, they actually lost Josh
from the
Cribbs
Miami Dolphins.
Josh Cribbs left Cleveland to go to Oakland.
Anybody who leaves Cleveland, you generally don't care about. And Josh Cribbs is a very talented, if they would please, for heaven's sake, just leave him as a special teamer. Uh-huh. He's remarkable, and he could set records. So they've lost guys on special teams that they needed badly. This is not a good club, Steven. When Chris Obunaya at fullback is somebody that is important to your team, you guys suck.
Well, he's important to the team because the type of offense demands that they have a good fullback.
Because you're running the ball a lot. Montario Hardesty or Trent Richardson, and that's all we're going to do.
Look, Trent Richardson almost had 1,000 yards rushing last year in his rookie campaign. He had 11 TDs. Those are solid numbers for a rookie running back. I think he improves on that. The problem is when I'm giving Brandon Weeden a hard time.
Uh-huh.
But
he only fumbled 3 times.
Yeah, the thing is 17 interceptions, that's high. But I think he just has no confidence in the wide receivers.
Well, okay. Again, your wide receivers are made up of cast-offs of stinky poo-poo teams.
Yeah.
Well, really hard to have a lot of confidence
that's
there.
That's not his fault.
That's not his fault. That's on the general manager.
Yes.
This is, by the way, when I said that Mike Holmgren was done, and then he comes in and is the Mr. Fix-It here in Cleveland, he made it worse.
Well, when you come in and you take over Stinky Poo-Poo,
yeah,
the Stinky Poo-Poo's there for a little bit until you can clean it out. You got to give me some time. I can't just come in and make it smell like roses.
This isn't the year after John Gruden left Oakland where they would go to the Super Bowl and play John Gruden in the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right.
This is a team that was Stinky Poo-Poo, and then the Fix-It guy comes in, and they're still bad. I don't know if we're going to see evidence of the Mike Holmgren thumbprint on this team ever.
I think it takes a couple years.
Mm.
Let him have, his first draft last year. I think he hit a home run with Trent Richardson. I just gave you his numbers.
Yeah, Trent had a great season.
Let's see how their draft picks do this year. And maybe
Jimmy Haslam is doing all the right things for this team as the owner. As far as the fans go, he's been a great owner. But Rob Chudzinski?
Chudzinski.
Whatever.
You don't like the Chudzinski?
The Chud. The fact that Norv Turner is there as offense coordinator will help this team.
It's going to help tremendously because if I've said it a million times, I'll say it a go.
All.
As an offensive coordinator,
he's
brilliant.
Great.
Head coach, not so
horrible.
Much. Yes.
Yeah. And so he's at the right role, but I don't know that there's enough parts here to make this good. I think the Ray Horton defense can be good.
I think that the wide receivers that are on this team currently, I don't think they have their wide receivers yet on this team.
Okay. Well, where are they going to find them and when?
Soon. Via either
Tuesday?
Via either trade.
We've been talking about is that wide receivers have been having significant issues with their knees.
Yes.
So now you're saying that they're going to find some wide receivers, that everybody needs wide receivers right now.
Well, you got to remember they picked up in the supplemental draft last year Josh Gordon. He's looking really good right now. So they've got that. It's not like they don't have anybody. They just don't have household names, shall we say.
They don't have household names in Cleveland.
Trent Richardson can become a household name.
Trent Richardson. There's some fantasy football commercials out now that feature Trent Richardson.
Yeah, he's holding the dude on his shoulders.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those commercials are brilliant.
Those are really good. I love the look on Matt Ryan's face as he comes out. Matt Ryan's shoulders are not that big, by the way.
Exactly.
Even with pads on, they're not that big.
Matt Ryan is like, and then straight to Julio Jones, and he's standing with the woman on his shoulders. That's good stuff.
It is. So, Cleveland, I'm sorry. It's going to be a bit of a chore to
improve
on your five wins.
So, are you relegating them to the cellar?
Absolutely. In the
cellar dwellers.
Absolutely in the cellar. It's a question of how many wins.
Wow. Will they improve
Will they get
five?
Beyond five? I don't know.
Six.
I can't say at this point. I need to do James's chart.
8-8.
No way. No way 8-8. This is a losing football team.
Yeah.
Losing record, period.
Wow.
Steven,
I'm not on their bandwagon. I was on their bandwagon the last couple of years, and then they kind of let me down because they didn't do what
I
told them they should do.
You are absolutely right.
And so now I'm kind of off of it now.
So just know that when you do Mr. Reese's spreadsheet,
yes,
you can't end up with most teams having an above 500 record. That's the beauty of Mr. Reese's spreadsheet.
You can't.
You cannot.
No.
And Steven right now is unwilling to give hardly any team a below 500 record.
What are you talking about? I gave the Bills like five wins
which is
last
generous,
week. Which is
generous. Which is generous.
Yeah. Five?
Five.
Is generous?
For the Bills.
Look, we already got emails, okay?
Oh, so we are to talk as if we're never going to receive negative
hate
mail.
No, we don't want hate mail.
I don't mind the hate mail if it represents what I actually think.
Okay.
I love it, in fact.
No, I do too, because at the end of the season, I get to tell them, I told you so.
Told you so. We didn't do a good enough job on our recapping our predictions this last year. No, when we got done with the Super Bowl,
I'm telling all the Kansas City Chiefs fans from last year who sent me those nasty things when I said that they would average 14 points per game.
Yeah.
13.2.
13. You're right. You were right. They did not average 14. I was wrong. They averaged 13.
Yeah.
Wow, that must suck. So Cleveland Browns.
I want to find something good to. You know what? I like the dog pound. How about that?
I love the dog pound.
There you go. I'm trying to find something positive
fans,
to say about
you remember
every team.
That
Can we just find something positive to say about every team?
Love your fans. That YouTube video of that guy standing outside the stadium. Remember that YouTube video of him cursing the Browns?
No.
Oh, it was from last year. It was classic. This guy went on a tirade of how the Browns have hurt him and how he is so done putting up with their nonsense, and he'll be there on Sunday. It was gold, Steven. So that brings us
to. Was that a commercial or something?
No, it was a YouTube video that a fan did.
Huh.
Just a friend filmed him on his phone just ranting, and it was very well written. And it was just like, you've hurt me so many times, so many different ways. You've hurt me, and I'll see you on Sunday. That's a true fan.
Yeah.
And that's the Cleveland Browns fans, and I want to be there, and I want to see one of their games. Steven, let's move on to the Pittsburgh.
The Pittsburgh Steelers! I only have one question for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if you can answer this for me,
Do I win a prize?
How well the Steelers are going to do.
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Can they keep Big Ben Roethlisberger healthy?
Sure.
You had a little hesitant.
Sure, but Steven, as you well know, since you asked it and posed it, it is a very significant question.
Yes.
Big Ben, coming off a season marred by some injury, still put up pretty ridiculous numbers, and I think that they will do a – he's too intelligent of a human being at this stage in his life. Okay, he's done many stupid things.
Yeah.
But, like I've said, I want to hear from the people that have done the stupid things if it's changed him for the better or not. And I think with Ben, it's changed him for the better a lot. You don't ever see him in the press anymore, right?
He threw 26 TDs.
That's good.
Only 8 picks.
That's great.
But he only played in 13 games.
And that's nearly 16. Okay, that's 3 less.
He fumbled 6 times, lost 3. I just think with the line that the Pittsburgh Steelers have, he's going to continue to get shots because Ben's the kind of guy that holds on to the ball a little bit longer than you should.
When you can count to 14 sometimes and he hasn't thrown the ball. And I don't mean 1-3-5-7-8-14. I mean 1001-1002. And Steven, there were plays last year that I actually did for my own fun. I don't think I've told you this, where I counted 1001-1002. I would take the snap and I would count, and I got to 14 with Ben Roethlisberger before he gets rid of the football. And he's just dancing and scrambling and running for his life, and just somehow he's got that third eye, which freaks me out in the back of his head, where he feels and senses pressure and ducks, and then boom, the lumberjack tried to chop down the tree, but the tree's not there no more. He's a remarkable athlete, Steven.
You have to go all the way back to the 2008 season. It's the last time Ben was in there for 16 games.
Sure.
When you don't have a valued backup, where you could say... Well,
and here's your biggest problem, and this is probably where you're going.
Yeah.
They've lost their valuable backups. They've lost the Charlie Batches.
Yes.
They've lost the guys that you could usually count on to get you through the stretch of 2 or 3 games without Ben.
They brought in Bruce Gradkowski.
Yeah,
Mike Wazowski.
John Parker Wilson, Landry Jones. These are the backups now in Pittsburgh, which means if Big Ben goes down, the likelihood is you will lose the game. You didn't have that before. You always had the luxury of veteran backups.
Who would possibly get you a win.
Frequently got them wins. And that's what I loved about this team, because between Marcus Pouncey and Ramon Foster and Mike Adams and David DeCastro, you had a line that was really solid at protecting. Okay.
Real quickly, let's focus over on the other side of the ball where
defense.
You have no more James Harrison.
No.
You have an aging Troy Polamalu.
I am going on the record.
On records.
And I thought you were going to ask me originally if Troy Polamalu could stay healthy, at which point I was going to say we have zero evidence of that. What we likely have, if I were the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would assume we're never going to have Troy Polamalu. Never. And the game or two that we have him, that'll be a lot of fun. Let's plan as if he's not going to be there.
Because he was only there for 7 games last year.
And the year before? What, 10?
No, he was...
No, he missed a lot of time.
No, 2011, he played all 16 games. The year before that, he missed 2. He missed 4 games. Here's
the team's record when he is absent
is
abysmal.
It's not good.
So therefore, with an aging... Yes, we said aging... defensive back.
He's 32. That's
aging defensive back.
I mean,
you can't count on him.
He's a kid for you and me, but in the NFL, 32. Really? That's old.
You're gonna be 48 next week.
You're old.
I actually used this line coming out of my house. I had to finish a few thousand steps last night.
You were turning 49.
Don't age me prematurely, you bastard.
It's Super Bowl 49 that we're coming
up to. No, we're going to Super Bowl 48. It's the only way I know what Super Bowl it is my birthday.
Right.
It's how old I am. It's the only way I know.
Didn't we just do 48?
No, we just did 47.
45, 46, 47. Okay, yes. All
right. We still got a ways to go to get to Super Bowl L.
Yes.
So I went out.
49?
I had a few thousand steps.
So 48's in... New York.
48's in New York.
49's
in San Francisco.
Arizona.
Glendale.
50
is in San Francisco. Is in the new stadium in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which will be awesome.
Right.
I mean, this is the last one we have to get through that's going to be any sort of challenge as far as travel
yes.
and expense.
Yes.
It'll be so much cheaper.
Right.
When it's in Arizona, I'm going to commute. It's so much cheaper to sleep in my own bed.
You're a boob.
Dude, just a flight alone, a round-trip ticket every day is cheaper than a hotel room. That's a fair point.
I'm not sure about that.
It's usually $95 to fly round-trip to Phoenix. You can tell me we're going to find a hotel for $95? The week of the Super Bowl. That might be harder to get that ticket.
Yes.
Maybe if you book it far enough in advance. The thought of sleeping in my own bed, even if it's only for 4 hours a night, sounds magical to me.
That sounds pretty crazy, but okay.
And seeing my family. Anyways, the point is, I came out of the house last night, had a few thousand steps left to get in my number for the day.
Right.
And there was a young family with their kids out there, and the kids weren't keeping up with mom and dad as mom and dad are trying to get a walk in. And I said, oh, here comes grandpa. Don't let grandpa catch you as I'm coming down my grass. And they all laugh and everything. And I can't believe that I actually called myself grandpa for the first time in my life. But this was a young family. I'm not a young family. I got older kids.
Yes.
I'm not grandpa, but I was to them.
You're going to be 48, dude.
I know. It's virtually dead.
Yeah. I don't even know how old I'm turning.
Well, you lied for so long that it gets difficult.
Yes.
So we've got who backs up Troy Polamalu, because that's most important. DeMond Cromartie Smith. What is it about the names Cromartie that have to have extra names? Is that a law? Rogers Cromartie, DeMond Cromartie Smith.
I thought they got a rookie to come in and hopefully.
They have Shamako Thomas out of Syracuse.
Right.
And they're very excited about him, but we'll see how that all plays out. Ike Taylor's still going to be there on the right corner. Cortez Allen on the left corner. They've got a good defensive team. Lamar Woodley, they still got Larry Foote, who's getting older.
Well,
Timmons.
You know, they got Dick LeBeau over there for the defense. So.
And speaking of old that you just respect the hell out of, Dick LeBeau leading that defense. Yeah. There is nobody better, I don't think, in the league at getting a defense ready for a game than Dick LeBeau. Love him. And, of course, Kiesel the Diesel, the beard with the beard. Love those guys.
I actually heard that his beard grew a beard, and then that beard grew another one.
No way.
Yes. There are three now. There are three. Yes.
Wow.
I was like, wow, the second one. And then when the third one came out.
Yeah. Where are we going
to
stop?
I'm because, trying seriously. To get a picture. They're trying to send me a picture of that. I need to see it. It'll go
amazing.
Up. By the way, we're on Instagram now. NFL R&R. Follow us on Instagram. You'll get some cool shots right now. There's a cool shot that we took at the Super Bowl last year.
And I sent Steven a sexy picture of myself, and he didn't
like
it.
Those get automatically deleted.
What did I send you last time?
I don't know. I saw your nose that you sent me here.
Yeah.
And something came through really early yesterday that I didn't even look at. I just deleted it.
It was my calf.
It was deleted. See? I don't even know what it was. I saw that you sent another picture with the question with sexy question mark. It was just
I did it as a question this time though instead of a statement.
Deleted. I don't want pictures of your body parts.
People do.
Send them to Didi.
People do.
She might appreciate them.
I'm
deleted.
Just trying to find an appropriate way to get into this new sexting craze.
To your wife, not to me.
Yeah.
You.
You're my coworker.
You
sexed, it's often coworkers.
What did you call
sexting.
It? Sexting. You sexed to your wife.
Well, I'm not showing my junk or anything.
I don't care. I don't want your body parts. And I don't want to be pulled into this crazy.
Demented world.
Demented world that you live in where you think I want your body parts on my phone.
I don't think you want them for real. You just need to admire the beauty of my nose and my calf.
Sorry.
Steven, we're out of time. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, we haven't told people how they're going to do. How are they going to do?
I think
they have stayed. Okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Healthier than – you asked if any team has been healthier.
I was getting there.
Were you? I'm sorry.
They're one of the healthiest teams out there right now. Mm-hmm. You haven't heard a lot of injury reports coming out of their camp. I think at the running back position, they've made some strides. I think they're going to be able to get back to the pound and ground, Pittsburgh Steelers, run them around type football. We're going to see if the Mike Wallace defection to the Miami Dolphins, if that's going to hurt them. I'm not sure it is.
I think they've got plenty of wide receivers to fit the bill. My question is, how is their defense going to respond? If their defense can step it up, if Dick LeBeau somehow gets that defense to play his style of defense and they can pressure other opposing quarterbacks, they will be fine.
Steven, they were first against the pass, second against the run. What do you want?
I want them to be first overall and with everything.
They were
everything.
First overall, but you want them to be first in both.
Yes.
That's asking a lot from a defense, okay? This Pittsburgh Steelers team, I think, rebounds in a big way from their 8-8 season.
Do they?
Just simply because they've had so many unfortunate injuries on the offensive side of the game for several years. And then the nagging Polamalu on the defensive side, that they're due for a run of good luck. And I think this is the year.
Well,
they had the best
defense. Their offense was pretty bad. They were 21st overall offense.
Correct. Mostly because they couldn't run the ball. That's been the problem since Jerome Bettis left.
Well, can they take care of business offensively?
Can they run the ball with the new kid, Le'Veon Bell, who's a little banged up right now? And Jonathan,
where do you
Dwyer.
Have one, two, or three? Because they're not four.
God, could Baltimore really fall to third?
It is. I think it's a possibility.
We'll have to do the spreadsheet to find out. But I will say that
real quickly, just want to mention about our fantasy football leagues. We still need some players. NFLRNR.com to join our leagues. A chance to play against Jeff and I, and get your teeth wet if you're a newbie and you want to try it. We do not bite. We promise.
New people win frequently. I don't know why, and it makes me angry. But this is one of those things. Maybe because people are nice to you because you're new, and so they tell you stuff they shouldn't tell you. But, yeah, new people tend to do well.
Also, don't forget to try our new sponsor, Draft Day, for their daily fantasy football leagues. Look, if you don't want to manage a team through an entire season, this is the site for you.
You still want to manage a team through an entire season and play with us.
Yes.
But in addition.
But, yes, go to.
Because let's say one of your guys gets hurt. This don't ever happen.
It doesn't happen.
In draft day.
In daily.
Because you
fantasy
play
football.
Daily fantasy football.
And if you use the promo code RANTS100 when you make a deposit, you'll get 100% deposit bonus. And Jeffrey, I'm actually heard that it's up to $250. So you put $250 in,
whoa,
they will give you $250 to play with. And you will also get an $11 coupon to play one of their $11 games at draftday.com. So check it out. You make sure you use the code RANTS100.
That's a really great price.
I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Jeff Ellis.
And this has been NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.